If you would, John, Gospel account of John, the first chapter, John 1. We have a lot to be thankful for today, church. God has done so much for us. And really that's what I want to talk about is what He has done for us in being our Father. In John, the first chapter and the 11th verse, John 1 and 11. This begins, you know, in the first verse talking about, actually you'll see a big difference between the gospel account of John as compared to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it starts with the narrative of the birth of Jesus. But in John, it doesn't. It goes back to the beginning. Not the birth of Jesus, you know, the Son, the Word being made flesh, but before that. Look in verse 1, John 1, 1, in the beginning, the Word already was. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word is a name for the Son, for Jesus, the Redeemer. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God had created everything by His Word. And the Word is the Son. Nothing was made without the Word. And verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Apart from Jesus, there is no life. There is no eternal life, and there is no light, no spiritual light. 2 Corinthians 4 says that Satan is the god of this world and that he has blinded the minds of those that don't believe. All of the inhabitants of this planet who don't know the Lord are in darkness. And they are in death. But in Christ, there is life. And there is light. Now, if you skip down to the 11th verse, it says, He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. This is really, this narrative is sad. That He made the worlds, the world, and the world did not even recognize Him. And He came to His own people, the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, Hebrew, that had been, you know, observing the worship of Jehovah God for centuries and the keeping of the law. And here is the Word in front of them. And they did not accept Him. They did not receive Him. And so it goes on to say, though, the next verse, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. This is a great word. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. It said, they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is the new birth. This is being born from above. Being born spiritually again. And this is only possible by faith in Jesus Christ. But when you exercise this faith and you receive Him, you believe on Him, you receive Him, you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, you are born again. And you are born into His family. You are a son That's male and female. There are male sons and female sons, but you have become a son of God. This we should shout about the rest of the year and the rest of our life. To those that believe on him and those that receive him, he gave them, verse 12, power or the authority or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now this is an honor that is not given to angels or any number of other created beings. To be a son of God is to be in the forever God class and forever God family. You're somebody. God has made you somebody because of whose you are, because of who your father is. Now go to 1 John. You know, same human author in John and in 1 John. And I believe it's the third chapter. Y'all okay today? You going to help me with this? Chapter 3, 1 John and 3 and 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The Spirit of God is saying through John, behold means look. Take notice. Do you see what has happened for you? What kind of love, what degree of love God has bestowed on us? What? He could have created us a rock. Or a tree. Is that right? Or a hill. So, you know, he's the creator. He could have created us some kind of an angel class being, but no. No, he created us, his very own sons and daughters. I want to hear you say it. God is my very own father. I am his very own son. Hallelujah. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. The sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. The same thing that happened with Jesus is happening with us. Yes. In this current world and generation. When he came, the begotten of God, the Son of God, the world did not know him, did not recognize him, and even coming unto his own, they did not receive him. They just, you know, they rejected him, did not see who he was. And you and I, having been born again, we are the sons of God. And notice this verse, it goes on to say, Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God. Not later on when we get to heaven. We are right now sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't look like what we're going to look like. We are in the earliest stages of our existence and development. When God calls us my little children, it's not a figure of speech. We, you know, compared to his age and his knowledge and his wisdom, we are Ned in the first reader. You know what I mean by that? We're just getting going here, and we still got our mortal body And, you know, even if you've been going 100 years at this, to God, that's nothing. That's just a tiny amount of time. We're just getting started. We don't look like right now, especially in the eyes of unbelievers, what we are or what we're going to be. But just wait. Hold on. Just watch. Right? It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, talking about Jesus, we shall be like him. Why? Because he's the Son of God. We're also sons of God. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. When you realize who you are and what you are in God, you quit wanting to act like an uncouth, ignorant heathen. Huh? You are a child of God. You're a son of God. You ought to live by son of God standards. Right? And that is pure and holy, like the master. You know, that's a trick of the enemy, always trying to convince people of how nothing they are and how failure they are, and you're nothing, you're just, you know, dirty rags in the sight of God. No, that was your righteousness. You've been given his righteousness, and that's accepted. And the more you believe you're nothing and a failure, the more you will act like nothing and a failure. As a person thinks in their heart, that's how you will be. That's how you will act. But when you realize, I've been born of God, I've got the spiritual DNA of Jehovah in my being, I am called to be an heir of God and a joint heir of Christ. I am called. Hallelujah. To rule and reign with him in his eternal kingdom, not just as a servant, but as a son. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to hear you say it. Now, you see verse 2, 1 John 3, 2. Put it up there. I want to hear you say it now. I am a son of God. When? Right now. Right now, I am a son of God. I want to hear you say it again. I am. Right now, a son of God. And God is my Father. Go with me to Galatians 4, please. Galatians 4. This is Father's Day. We're observing and giving thanks and appreciation for fatherhood. All true fatherhood comes from the Father, the Father of spirits, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're used to hearing those words, but those words are not common in other religions of the world. And I want you to know what a difference there is between Christianity and other religions. In Galatians, the 4th chapter, 4 and 7. Well, I need to back up. 4:4. Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth who? His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. God gave his Son so we could become God's sons. Unless he had given his Son, there would be no way for fallen humanity to ever be an eternal Son of God. But because of what Jesus has done, you and I actually have been given the same standing with the Father as Jesus. Somebody says, no way, no way, Brother Keith. It was his standing or none at all. My standing and your standing wouldn't cut it. Well, if our standing is his standing, it's the same as his because it is his. Can you see this? My righteousness and yours was not acceptable, so God gave us his righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You didn't earn the righteousness. You didn't achieve it. You were made it. Well, Jesus didn't commit sin, but he was made sin with our sin. Well, we didn't commit the righteousness, but we were made righteous. And we were made, we didn't earn sonship, we were made sons. Now, go on, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, somebody say, I am a son. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, this is so significant. The word Abba would be one of the first ways that a child would call their father, our dada, our daddy. It is the most closest and endearing term. Not the cold institutional father. But Abba, Daddy. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, if you've been around church, you may have gotten used to this, but for the angelic beings, and there are millions of them, I reckon more than that, billions and billions, I don't know how many, and there are different categories of angels. There are cherubim and seraphim, and there are the elders and the winged creatures and the four faces creatures around the throne. And there, we don't know what all God has made. He's got a lot of things going on. But to come up into the throne and say, Daddy, all the angels look around and go, huh? Who's calling the Almighty Daddy? Because they don't get to do that. I said they don't get to do that. But you and I have the privilege. Not because of us, because of Jesus. We got the privilege to come boldly into the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, because we can come straight to Abba, 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 Father. A close relationship between father and child, father and son, father and daughter. As close as you want to draw, he will respond. You draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. He said, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Every born again, man or woman, boy or girl, when you're born again, you have the Spirit in you. The Bible said if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. You're born of the Spirit. Now, you can also be filled with the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit in you, this is one of the first things that happens when you're born again, and this is with you throughout the rest of your existence. The Spirit of adoption. Adoption is the spirit that causes you to know you belong. Amen. You are a part. You are God's child, chosen of Him, born of Him. Hallelujah. The spirit of adoption that prompts you to call Abba, Father. Can you see this? Verse 7 now. Verse 7. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. we hadn't scratched the surface of that. There are benefits to being a son of God. Big benefits. Hallelujah. Look at it again, verse 7. Because, you know, we've been born of Him, and the spirit of adoption is in us, and by that we cry, Abba, Father. So then we are no more, we are no longer a servant. Now that doesn't mean you can't be of service to God, but I'm not a slave. I'm not just a servant. I'm family. Huh? We're sons and daughters. And if I am a son, that means I have part in the inheritance. What inheritance? The big inheritance of the Almighty. The Creator's kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Said out loud, no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. Now, I mentioned that this is different from other religions. In fact, you know, I had some years ago, a relative of mine had been spending a lot of time working in the Middle East. And he said to me, we were at some family event, he said, well, you know, isn't Jehovah and Allah just different names for the same God? And I mean, you know, you got your prophet and they got their prophet, but just one God and same God. No. The God of Islam is not the same God as the God of Christianity. One of the tenets of faith, if I understand correctly, in Islam is that their God is not a father. He was not begotten and he does not beget. And so he has no sons. He only has servants. And I don't know how much you've read in the Bible, but there are some 1,000 references to Father. It is everywhere. And if you read in the gospel accounts how much Jesus talks about my Father, my Father, my Father, my Father, my Father this, my Father that, I only do those things that please Him. Huh? The fatherhood of God. And see, the whole gospel is based on God so loved the world that He what?
Gave
who? What? His only what? Begotten Son. Well, see, these other religions, they deny that Jesus could be the Son of God. Because God doesn't have any sons. Are y'all with me? And the spirit of Antichrist denies that Jesus has come in the flesh. That the Word became flesh. This is a huge, huge, big deal. We haven't realized how big of a deal it is for you and I to be able to say, God is my Father. Hallelujah. God is my Father, and I am His Son. Hallelujah. He is my Father. In Romans, the 8th chapter, notice this. Is this okay? Romans chapter 8. And about verse 14 or so. Why did God give us fatherhood to begin with? It's a revelation of Himself. Who He is, what He is. He is the Father of spirits. And we wouldn't know what a father is. We'd have no clue unless He had revealed it. In Romans 8 and 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what?
Sons.
The sons of God. Is that you?
Yes.
Do you mind making some confessions while we're here?
Yeah.
It's real handy and convenient. Say it out loud. I'm a son of God.
I'm a son of God.
And I am led
by the Spirit of God
every day and every night. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sons of God can expect to be led, guided, directed by the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus said. He said, you know, the disciples were so upset that He said He's leaving before He went to the cross and that they couldn't come with Him. Man, they were traumatized. And He said, no. He said, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. But when He does come, He will guide you. He will guide you into all the truth. He will bring to your remembrance everything I've said to you. He will take of mine and show it to you. He will show you things to come. These are sonship privileges. Hallelujah. Not just an angel helping us out. The very Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit Himself living in us 24/7. Keep reading. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Again, you'll find in other religions, there's always this element of fear. And there's always this element of bondage. But God, our Father, we've been talking about the fear of God. We know that we should reverence Him.
Right.
We should be in awe of Him. We should also always show Him the proper respect and glory and deference and submission and obedience. But to be in terror of Him, that He's going to crush us any moment? No. We're family. I said, we're family. We're family. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's the first thing that happens when you're born again. Is you got the Holy Spirit inside you, and He's letting you know. You are saved. You are a child of God. You are in the family. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are on your way to glory and heaven. You are a child of God. Somebody say, I am, I am, I am a child of God. Now notice verse 17. And if children, if you are a child of God, then you are an heir. Now, if you read the epistles carefully, looking for this, you'll see it more places than you thought. Inheritance. Being an heir. If we're children of God, children inherit from their parents. If you're a child of God, then you're an heir of God. Heirs. Heirs of God, and brace yourself, and joint heirs. The word joint means equal. Equal heir with Christ? It almost blows your head. You're like, huh? What? That's got to be wrong, right? That's got to be wrong. It's a misprint. Right? Surely it don't mean equal heir with Jesus. You got to remember, the only reason I'm a son in the first place is because of His righteousness and His work So if I'm inheriting, it's all based on him anyway. Yes. So it's got to be the same. Yes. If I'm an heir of God, I'm a joint heir with Christ. If so be you suffer with him, and that particularly is talking about suffering persecution. Yes. And being rejected and being attacked because of your faith in Christ. And that's something you just need to man up and deal with. Is that right? Yeah. Somebody might have seen you coming in here today anyway, so you might as well just join us. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Get all the bit. Will everybody be happy? No. But some people will talk about you and post ugly things and all that. And that's just because they don't know. They're clueless. And a lot of them not even born again. They are not children of God. They're children of the devil. But you want them to see the goodness of God in your life, because that goodness will draw people to repentance. Come on into the family. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Look at Ephesians, the first chapter, please. You got just a couple more minutes here? Well, that roast will wait. Or that fried chicken or whatever it is. Right? You okay? Ephesians 1. This prayer, you know, that if you've prayed the scripture prayers, you've prayed this before. But did you realize what you were praying? In Ephesians, the first chapter and the third verse, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God and what? Father. Now, you know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, and early that morning, when he had just been raised from the dead, and Mary saw him, and she realized it was him raised from the dead, then she went to fall to put her hands on his feet, and he said, no, don't touch me right now. Because, I mean, he had just raised from the dead, and he said, I have not yet ascended to my Father. And so he's about to go to the throne and offer his own blood as the high priest, offering it, and as the sacrifice too. Hallelujah. And so under the law, when the high priest would wash before they went into the Holy of Holies to offer the blood of animals, and they weren't to see anybody or touch anybody. They were to be, and that's what was happening with the high priest. But then he went on to say this. He said, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But he said, go to the disciples and tell them, I go to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. Do I have a right to call God my Father? Yes. Like Jesus does? Yes. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. Because that's the way he was making with his own blood. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, who is it? Mr. Elon Musk just became what, the first trillionaire?
Yes.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Go get it, man. Do it. Yeah. And he made a bunch of his employees multimillionaires. Outstanding. But if you are one of Elon Musk's kids, might you be set up? Huh? Your daddy is a trillionaire. Might you be covered for some stuff? Huh? Well, your father is bigger than a trillionaire. Your Father creates planets and stars and solar systems. Come on, somebody say, my Father is the richest ever. Well, does that mean anything to you? Does it? Does it affect you? Practically? Anyway? In any fashion? Yes. Because that's where this word keeps coming up. Heir. Inheritance. Heir. That's what belongs to God. If you're his son, it belongs to you too. Oh, that was too weak. That was too... We need mind renewal on this. We really, really do. Said, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. God adopted us to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It's astounding. He knew you before you were born. He saw the end from the beginning. And in spite all of your and my dumb stuff and mistakes, he saw something in us that he believed would honor him and trust him and be worthy of a son or daughter in his eternal family. And so he saved us and called us, hallelujah, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. That's that the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Somebody say, I belong.
I belong.
I have a sure place in the family of God and in the kingdom of God. For when you understand this better, your insecurities are gone. They leave. Because you know who you are and what you are and what your future is. No matter how rocky it may get down here, I'm already set. Hallelujah. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Skip down to verse 11. In whom also we have what? Obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 14. What we have now is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What we have now is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. What we have now is some joy and some peace. What we have now is the authority of the name of Jesus. What we have now is the faith of God in our heart to believe and to triumph and live victoriously, but that everything we have now is but a small earnest of the whole inheritance. It's like a small down payment compared to everything that has been given us, which is going to happen past this life and beyond this life. It is the earnest of our inheritance. And this is what we pray this prayer, the Ephesians prayer, verse 18. Part of what we would pray is that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. What do our eyes need to be enlightened to? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. You need to know how excited you ought to be about where you're going. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Come on, pray it right now. Father, enlighten the eyes of my heart and my understanding. Cause me to know What is the hope of your calling? Open my eyes to see what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me see it, Lord. Let me see it. Let me understand it. He told you to pray to see it, so he must want you to see it. Go to John 17 in closing, I think. Thanks be to God. Is it a great thing to call God Father? John 17 is Jesus at prayer. Would you like to kneel down beside Jesus and listen to him pray for a while? Kneel down close enough that you're rubbing shoulders with him. And Jesus is praying. And you are praying with Jesus. You are right there. Would you pay attention to what he prayed? Would you listen to every word, every phrase? Well, we have a whole chapter here, verbatim of what he prayed. So if you want to do this, all you do is open up your Bible to chapter 17 and kneel down and pray it and listen to it. And it is astounding what he prayed. It stretches your faith to even fathom it. In John 17, verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, what?
Father.
This is how he talked. The hour's come. Glorify your son that your son may also glorify you. He's talking about himself. Glorify your son, not self-seeking. Why? So that you would be glorified in him. It's not the more defeated and downbeaten we are that glorifies God. He wants his glory to be manifested in us that reflects on him. You don't want people to look at you, because folks have thought, I don't want to get too much or be too strong or be too wealthy or too successful or that might take away from the gospel. You think you're going to steal God's light? You think you're going to take some of his thunder? That's a stupid thought, right? Not at all. God wants you to be so powerful, so victorious, so enlightened, so strong, so successful, so victorious that people look at you and go, whoo, look at you. You go, you ought to see my daddy. You ought to see my elder brother. You ought to see mother. I'm just little baby. I'm just getting started. Right? It's not the worse off we are that glorifies God. Did you hear Jesus praying? Glorify your son. That your son may glorify you. You might say, yeah, but Brother Keith, that's Jesus. That's right. Did you not hear about the joint heir thing? You already forgot that? Keep reading. In John 17:20, he said, I'm not praying for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Have you ever read Matthew or Mark or Luke or John? He was praying for you. Back then, he was praying for me and for you. And this is what he prayed, verse 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I'm in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. You know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? Well, see, that's his extended plan for us, is that if we've seen you, we've seen Jesus. That's the plan. Because you're a son of God. I lost somebody. Verse 22. And the glory that you gave me. Are you listening? Are you awake? I have what? Say what? He did what? I have given them. Gave them what? The glory. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Is he saying the Father loves us like he loves Jesus? Did Jesus say he gave us his glory? What does this mean? It means you are not, you know, an old failed sinner. Huh? You are not a sorry, failed nothing. You are a child of God. You are called to glory. You are given an inheritance. He said, verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am. That's the hope of that calling. That they may do what? Behold my glory that you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Put up Revelation chapter 3. He prayed. How many believe Jesus' prayers get answered? Do you believe it? So the future that you and I have to look forward to is glorious beyond words. Yes. We really don't have the language to describe it properly. So we just accept it by faith. But Revelation is the end of the New Testament, the end of the writings. And this is what he said here. And we've quoted this verse, but sometimes we didn't quote the rest of it. Revelation 3 and 20. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. How many have opened the door and said, come in, Lord? If you haven't done it, you can do it in just a moment. We're going to lead you in a prayer. Verse 21, very next verse, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Amen. When you first read that and you first hear that, your head goes, Huh? That's what God has made you to be. Amen. You're not just a servant. You're not a lowly slave. You're a son. Hallelujah. You're a son. A place in the throne. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Why? Because he's our Father too. We're joint heirs. We're joined with Jesus. Whatever he is, that's what we are. Whatever he's got, that's what we've got. Wherever he's going, that's where we're going. Whatever he's doing, that's what we're doing. Aren't you glad to be along for the ride? Revelation 21:7, near the very end of the book and the Bible. Revelation 21:7, Jesus said this, "He that overcomes," Revelation 21:7, "shall do what?
Inherit
all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That's what 2 Corinthians 6 said. He said, so come out from among them and don't touch the unclean thing. And I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, thank you.
Thank you.
Gracious.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
So good.
Father. Stand on your feet, everybody. Lift your hands. Give thanks. Give glory. Give praise. Oh, thank you, Father. Say it out loud so your ears can hear your mouth say, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my great, good Father. Thank you. Thank you, great God, great Father, good, good Father God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, we worship you, we bless you, we praise you, we glorify your holy name. Hallelujah. Everybody, if you would, just close your eyes and focus on the Lord. We don't know who's in the house or in Sarasota or who's watching online or joining us, whether now or later. But God's always right here. And he said, now is the accepted time. Now, today, is the day of salvation. You do not want to wait. Did you hear about the glory? Did you hear about the inheritance? Did you hear about being a forever part of God's forever family? Everybody said out loud, Father God, thank you that I can call you Father. It is such a privilege, such an honor, such a blessing. I do call you my very own Father. And I am your very own child. I belong to you. You are mine, and I am yours. And your banner over me is eternal love. Thank you for sending your son to redeem me. I believe he went to the cross. He became sin with my sin. He was judged in my place. And he died and went to the heart of the earth. But you have raised him from the dead. He is alive. King of kings. Lord of lords. Soon to come again. Jesus, you are my Lord. My Savior. My Redeemer. My King. And my elder brother. Thank you for saving me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Altar workers, come.